Our scripture this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Oh God, through the power of your Spirit that can make light shine out of darkness, that can fling the stars to the furthest most regions of creation, that can raise the dead, that can cure the sick, that can heal that which is blind. Oh gracious God, by the power of your Spirit, somehow, some way, through me or in spite of me, touch hearts here in this place this day. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced the Emmaus Walk. It's not that I prescribe it. Patsy and I were part of a team that went from here back in the early 80s to Nashville to bring it back to Alabama. So some of those folks that are still part of that movement call me old as dirt. And I am. But there's a prayer that from the very beginning, when 6 theologians and 6 clinical psychologists worked together to put that 72 hours in place so that that which was needed to be understood would have the same intellectual and emotional stimulation and reinforcement it needed to stick, there's a prayer that's prayed before every single talk that's given on every single walk. And right now, as we speak, walk number 452 at Camp Sumatongo alone is wrapping up today. That prayer goes like this: Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we might be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. And today, I thought, how many sermons have there been preached in the last 2,000 years trying to get people to understand just a little bit better about this mystery of God and Spirit that comes to dwell within our hearts? How many preachers have preached? How many scholars of great intellect, and I'm not being facetious, how many scholars of great and noble intellect who could read the Aramaic and read the Hebrew and read the Greek and the Latin and everything that would be necessary to bring that into existence, how many people have tried to explain this mystery of God's takeover of human flesh and yet failed miserably, because no mind can really ever conceive the amazing marvel of being invaded by the holiness of God. Nobody can ever do that. No tongue could ever profess. No pen could ever record. The only understanding that is ever possible is when it happens. And you know, and I know, that somehow my tomorrows aren't going to be the same as my yesterdays. There's a scripture in Matthew's gospel that says, you no longer have any more excuse for your sins, for the light has shined. It's that kind of an understanding. Oh, we may still slip and fall and mess up and even reject and deny and rebel, but no longer any excuse, because we have felt and known and received that which is the holiness of God. In that moment, 2,000 years ago, with that crowd gathered together in one accord, though they were so different, so many differences that we can't even begin to imagine to name them today. In that moment, centuries of dreams and hopes and promises of God collapsed into one moment. And they knew that God was with them. The promises of God throughout the centuries had come true, and they were there knowing without any doubt. Well, you know, you asked myself the question this morning, yeah, but I never have really meant, known, and understood, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit of God? It means very simply that the holy God of creation has kept God's promises to that creation. God has not left us forsaken and never will, but quite the contrary, God has kept God's promises. You see, in that moment when we stand in the light of grace and we say yes to God who has already said yes to us, the Holy Spirit of God invades us and we are recreated. God's people made new at one with God. Sheila read the verse this morning. I always smile when that verse says, they're not drunk. No, they're not drunk. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you to go back. And I'm going to pray that if it had never happened to you, that it will happen to you in the very near future, if not today. But all of you, or most all of you, I would say, have had that moment. Had a moment, at least one, where you knew the Spirit of God washed all over you. Now, if you didn't feel drunk, I don't know what you felt like. And I've been there a few times on the other side of that, in the not spiritual way. But if you haven't been there, I don't know how to explain this thing about being for a moment caught up in the Spirit. Caught up in the Spirit and feeling good all over. It's that moment that my father-in-law used to say, you stare death right straight in the eye and you don't blink. You stare death right in the eye and you don't blink. And I've seen some of you do that. Because you know. You know. And you're not drunk and you're not crazy. The Holy Spirit of God has enabled you to become one. You have been renewed, made new, all over again, as fresh as a new fallen snow. Sins removed and guilt removed and grief removed as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. I spent most of my 67 years trying to understand how far the east is from the west. And it's a long ways when you start talking about an infinite universe. Long ways. Not only are we renewed, we're restored in relationship. I know from time to time I've had some friends that I've had some friction with and some conflict with. And you know, you just sort of feel bad. You feel guilty. You wish you'd done something else. You just sort of think, oh, I wish that had never happened. I wish I could turn the clock back. Well, being restored in relationship is not about having to turn the clock back. Being restored in relationship is realizing that the holy God of creation has wiped our slate clean and said, you are restored in relationship. No longer is there anything that separates you from me or me from you. That which was divisive is no longer there, for forgiveness has come. And you are restored in relationship. Wouldn't it be neat if in our humanness we could forgive as God forgives? We could forgive. Doesn't mean forgetting. It just means that our love could be so strong, agape love. Our love could be so strong that we would never bring it up again. And if it came up in our subconsciousness, we would hastily dismiss it and send it back to the dark side from which those kinds of reminders come. For we have been restored, and the Holy Spirit of God enables us to do that which we were created to do. Not only are we renewed and restored, recreated and restored, our potential is renewed. That potential that Adam and Eve had to live in relationship with God. That relationship that they had when the scriptures record that every day God came down and walked with them. And even when they separated themselves from God, it was not they who went looking for God. Quite the contrary, they hid. And God came looking for them and said, I'm going to restore, I'm going to renew the potential you had from the very beginning. You are forgiven, sin no more. And every one of us comes to that time when we realize through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have potential far greater than anything we have ever realized individually or collectively. And somehow, if we could just come together in that spirit, amazing things could happen. So on that day so long ago, when all that happened, when all of that recreation and restoration and renewal happened, and everybody thought they were drunk and they were speaking strange language that everybody understood in their own, but yet it wasn't their own, it's an amazing thing. What difference did it make? It meant that those apostles and faithful disciples ever since, when they've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God, have risen to walk a new way. In a matter of fact, in the early days of the church, many of the Christians were called followers of the way. Well, what kind of way? What does it mean to walk a different way? They were called followers of the way because they followed the way of this itinerant rabbi named Jesus, who came from Nazareth, who was crucified and killed, but whom God raised from the dead, and who kept his promise to them and came back in the power of the Holy Spirit and interfered with their lives and interceded in their lives, never to leave them alone or betray them again. And since that day, followers of the way have gone about this crazy notion of somehow, like this itinerant Jesus, this itinerant rabbi, as he walked along and met strangers, he said kind and encouraging words to those strangers. He spoke words of hope and inspiration and encouragement to those strangers. And as he went his way, nothing behind him was left the same. But everybody he met took new hope and new encouragement and a new lease on life. Even sickness and demons themselves surrendered at the love and the positive aspect of being restored and renewed and back in fellowship with God. They had the audacity to follow Jesus. And today, we have all these excuses, but I would remind you this morning, they chose to follow the way of this itinerant Jewish rabbi, even in the face of tyranny and sick politics. Does that sound familiar, church? Even in the face of tyranny and sick politics, they chose the way of Jesus over the way of the world. 2,000 years later, each day and every day, people rise and go to hospitals that carry his name and go to schools that carry his name and pray prayers that carry his name and look forward to the next day with hope in his name, not in the name of a single government or a single set of ideological political views upon the face of the earth. But hope for the world is following the way of Jesus Christ. Today the question for you and for me is, very simply, will we follow the ways of the world, or will we choose to follow the way of Jesus? Will we whine, moan, gripe, and complain over the way things are, or will we begin to walk toward the light as he is the light? Will we rise up as children of God and walk a new way following Jesus Christ? And may you who have ears to hear, hear. Amen. There's no better place, no better time to make that commitment and to celebrate our recreation, our restoration, and our renewal than to come to the Lord's table, take a piece of bread, dip it into the juice, consume that having made our peace with God, and rise as new creatures to follow him in all we think and do and say. Won't you prepare your hearts for communion?